In the Hebrew language and in the New Testament Koinonia Greek language, the words that we read in our Bibles, we translate as repent, can be easily translated as an action to turn away from or to turn to something better. Lent then doesn't begin with a spectacle, with giving up chocolate, bacon, committing oneself to get on the Peloton bike every night, even after a Lenten service, while thou dreadest doing so. Doesn't begin with spectacle, but with a shift in posture. Listen to these words from our gospel reading this evening, Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 6 and 16 through 21. This evening, I'm going to be reading from Eugene Peterson's version, The Message. Be especially careful when you are trying to be good so that you don't make a performance out of it. It might be good theater, but the God who made you won't be applauding. When you do something for someone else, don't call attention to yourself. You've seen them in action, I'm sure. Play actors, I call them. Treating prayer meeting and street corner alike as a stage. Acting compassionate as long as someone is watching, playing to the crowds. They get applause, true, but that's all they get. When you help someone out, don't think about how it looks. Just do it quietly and unobtrusively. That is the way your God, who conceived you in love, working behind the scenes, helps you out. And when you come before God, don't turn that into a theatrical production either. All these people making a regular show out of their prayers, hoping for 15 minutes of fame. Do you think God sits in a box seat? Here's what I want you to do. Find a quiet, secluded place so you won't be tempted to role play before God. Just be there as simply and honestly as you can manage. The focus will shift from you to God, and you will begin to sense His grace. When you practice some appetite-denying discipline to better concentrate on God, don't make a production out of it. It might turn you into a small-time celebrity, but it won't make you a saint. If you go into training inwardly, act normal outwardly. Shampoo and comb your hair if you have it. Brush your teeth. Wash your face. God doesn't require attention-getting devices. He won't overlook what you are doing. He'll reward you well. Don't hoard treasure down here where it gets eaten by moths and corroded by rust, or worse, stolen by burglars. Stockpile treasure in heaven where it's safe from moth and rust and burglars. It's obvious, isn't it? The place where your treasure is the place you will most want to be and end up being. Would you pray with me? Gracious God, breathe into us Your Spirit, we pray, that the meditations from my heart, these words from my mouth, might be wholly acceptable to You and to find a home in the hearts of these, Your beloved. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. This particular reading comes in the middle of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount and continues, his explanation of what it means to exceed righteousness. These verses immediately preceding, the verses immediately preceding this pericope in chapter 5, verses 21 through 48, offer examples of righteous living that serve to set it apart from an imperial way of life. This chapter adds to this by highlighting three specific acts of righteousness: giving, praying, and fasting, before turning to three acts of righteousness. Two initial observations warrant our attention. First, the entire pericope, that is, the reading altogether, operates with an important underlying assumption. Jesus' teaching is not intended to persuade the audience to perform acts of righteousness, rather to instruct them in the proper manner of performing what is already assumed to be an accepted practice. The emphasis, therefore, falls not on whether one engages in the acts, but on how the acts themselves are carried out. Faith isn't for show. God loves when our giving, praying, and fasting are honest and kind. Second piece is this: the Greek term translated here as righteousness may also be rendered as justice. In contemporary usage, righteousness often carries connotations of piety, holiness, or private morality. The emphasis, however, in the Sermon on the Mount falls more on communal living and responsibility. It centers concrete practices of justice more than individual uprightness. This is not a call to shame, but to authenticity, a return not just to God, but to God's vision of justice in community. When paired with the prophet Joel's aching invitation to return with all our hearts, Ash Wednesday becomes more than empty ritualism, something we do just to start Lent. It becomes resistance. Bless you. Here we must use our imagination not to twist our scripture, but what I feel Jesus would do, fulfill it. In this reading, Jesus critiques performative piety, acts of giving, prayer, and fasting done to be seen rather than to participate in justice. His challenge is not to stop these practices, but to reimagine them. For example, what if prayer disrupts power? What if giving builds solidarity instead of hierarchy? What if fasting becomes a protest against greed and excess? With this particular text as our guide, Lent is less a season of penance than a season of posture. It is less a discipline of denial and more a discipline of reorienting ourselves toward justice. It is a communal turning toward what matters most: truth, justice, mercy, and a refusal to settle for hollow ritual or inherited habits that uphold the empire. It calls us to slow down and consider to whom our attention truly belongs. This season dares us to examine our motives, disrupt our patterns, and begin again. Like the prophet Joel, Lent invites us to turn toward God and God's good purposes for the world, reorienting our lives accordingly. And in doing so, we not only return to God, but also gain the clarity to critique the patterns of imperial living that plague our world, and the renewed energy to embody God's just alternative. The imagination required for this work is not fanciful, but fierce, honest. And it begins in dust and quiet, with the courage to turn. Turning back to God means starting fresh with love, not carrying shame, in an opportunity to draw us closer to God than we could possibly imagine. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.